This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. Coming up in exactly 1 hour, Sean Barber will be in studio. Coming up in 45 minutes, I will give you my Survivor pick. I just want to point out that there was a lot of jokes and funny hee-hee, funny ha-ha when everybody thought I was going to be out in the first 2 weeks. Now that I'm the favorite to win this, I haven't really heard anything. I am crushing Survivor so far this season. I can't think of one NFL thing I've gotten wrong so far this year. But nobody brings that up. Nobody mentions that. Why is that? I'm equal opportunity here. I'm not the biggest fan of Brett Veach in the world, but when Brett Veach does good things, I try to give Brett Veach his props because that's what good people do. People like Rob are not good people. Oh, Rob was all in the promos, dancing, smiling in the videos. That's why he's not a part of Death Row right now. That's exactly why he's not on Death Row. This is why. But you know what? I'm going to keep my head down. I'm going to keep competing, and I'm going to keep winning in Survivor the way that I've done so far this season. So let's get to the Kansas City Chiefs, as Rob actually took them in Survivor last week to beat the Washington football team. There has been one pretty consistent message this week from the Kansas City Chiefs. They said this message after the game.
I just think the guys put their mind to it and bared down and, you know, kind of enough's enough. And, you know, there's a point where you have to do that. I thought they did a nice job.
They also said that message today.
I don't know if you call it a reset. I think you just have to build upon it. You build on it. We're still nowhere near where we want to be at. I mean, we still have a long ways to go. Cutting the turnovers down, executing better as an offense, and finding ways to score touchdowns. And when they're not there, take field goals. It's something that we have to continue to get better at, and we have a long ways to go. But it was definitely a great start to finish that half like that, and hopefully carry that momentum into this week.
If there is one thing that the Chiefs have communicated to the fans this week, is that something clicked in the second half against the Washington football team. Something is different about this team after the second half of the game against Washington. Now, one side, I think it was the best that we've seen the Chiefs play so far this year. I think the final 30 minutes of that game against the Washington football team is the best version of the Kansas City Chiefs that we've seen so far this year. They were dominant. Offensively, defensively, special teams wise, they really took the soul away from the Washington football team the final 30 minutes. But it's also the Washington football team. Washington is arguably the worst team they've played so far this season. They're arguably the worst team on their schedule this year. We've seen the Chiefs struggle against good quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield cooked them for the first 40 minutes of the game. Josh Allen had great success. Lamar Jackson had great success. Justin Herbert played well in the game. We've seen receivers give this team issues. We've seen certain running backs give this team issues. We've seen their defense really struggle against like competition. You know what they're playing on Sunday? Like competition. They're playing against a team that I feel pretty comfortable saying is going to be in the playoffs. They're playing against a quarterback that I feel pretty comfortable saying is capable of exploiting their very leaky defense. They're playing arguably the best offensive player that they've played so far this season, this side of Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. They're going up against a guy in A.J. Brown. We'll see if Julio Jones is going to go. Julio Jones has turned into Julio Watkins over the final 2 years of his career. They're playing against a legitimate contender on Sunday. We'll see. We'll see. Sunday is not showing me that things are different. Beating up on the Washington football team is not showing me that you've arrived, that you've turned some corner. If they turn the corner, a game like Sunday is going to be the real evidence. The Chiefs are telling us at almost every single turn that Sunday was a spark. It was a jumping off point. Stopping Taylor Heinicke is not a proof of that. Stopping Antonio Gibson, good player, not the proof of that. Slow down Derrick Henry. Limit A.J. Brown. Keep Ryan Tannehill under 300 yards passing, and then we can have that conversation. So I get what Tyrann Mathieu was trying to say.
I think our defense is really built to be aggressive. Obviously, we could play two shell, and you know, we could play different variations of cover two. I think that's what we're best at as far as our secondary goes. But I think anytime you can, you know, get 6-7 man pressures, you can really set your defensive lineup to really be hungry, have fun. It's just on the outside, you know, obviously we got to make plays and cover. I thought Fenton did a great job today, you know, really stepping up. Thought Wine played well. This is one of those games you want to keep building off.
It is one of those games that you want to keep building off. We saw a tale of two halves from the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw a first half that looked like a lot of the bad Chiefs that I don't think have a chance to win the Super Bowl. We saw the good version of the Chiefs in the second half that looks like a team that absolutely can win the Super Bowl. You're measured in that way against teams like Tennessee, teams like Buffalo, teams like Baltimore is what you are measured against. So, Rob, this isn't me endorsing the Chiefs defense. This isn't me putting down the Chiefs defense. I simply want to see. The Chiefs this week seem to have a common theme of what they want us to know about them. We'll know around 3:30 on Sunday whether or not they were true. If Tennessee goes out there and puts together 450 yards of total offense and scores 30 points, this is the same leaky defense that we've seen, and there's no reason to think that Green Bay won't do the same, or Dallas won't do the same, or the Las Vegas Raiders, who were capable of putting up points and scoring, won't do the same. At some point, you got to hand fans a good performance against a good team, and they got the opportunity to do that on Sunday.
I think one of the reasons the Chiefs are selling this so hard, for lack of a better term, is because they were mired by fans and media. Why is Dan Sorensen playing? Why is Ben Neiman playing so much? Why is insert player X playing so much? And they made those changes, and it came out, and they looked good in a game. Now, what they're doing is selling you is, we've made the changes, we've patched the holes, it's the spark that starts the fire, and we're going on back to the Super Bowl because everything's fixed, and they're the team, we are the team you thought we were back in August. And that's all fine and dandy. But if they aren't, and it just looks like another Chargers performance, or Ravens performance, or really even Browns performance, a game where you probably should have lost. The conversation and what they sell us is gone. It's dead. We're going to have to talk about the elephant in the room. It's not a Super Bowl team. If the Titans go up there and they go up and down the field and the Chiefs win a shootout or lose a shootout, 38-35, 41-38, 34-38, something like that, the conversation isn't, well, they're tightening up and they're fixing, but it's the team we think they are. It's, this is not a Super Bowl team. Where did everything go wrong? Which will be an odd conversation for a potentially 4-3 team.
I also think, too, on Sunday, we're going to see the defense at maybe the healthiest that we've seen so far this year. Sure, you're probably not going to have Anthony Hitchens for this game, but it sounds like Chris Jones is going to be back. Sounds like Charvarius Ward is going to be there. Jaren Reed's supposed to play in this game. Frank Clark's supposed to play in this game. Tyrann Mathieu's back fully healthy. Their secondary, I think, has played better. They've made the necessary switch. They swap Juan Thornhill for Daniel Sorensen. Willie Gay Jr. should play more than 30% of the snaps. Nick Bolton's supposed to play in this game. This is going to be as close to the finished product of the defense that I think you can expect. Show different results. Nobody expects you to go out there and hold Derrick Henry to 21 carries for 82 yards this year. That's not what I think the expectation is. Are you capable of taking away something that Tennessee wants to be able to do? That's what the Chiefs defense could do the second half of 2019 and 2020. If you had a top flight receiver, they could do a good job of limiting that receiver. If you wanted to come in and pound the ball, the Chiefs could do a good job of limiting your ability to be able to do that. So far this season, they haven't been able to really take away anything that you want to do with their defense. They haven't been able to limit your quarterback, limit your best receiver, limit your rushing attack. We know what Tennessee wants to do. Are they going to be able to limit that? We'll find out on Sunday. Coming up on the other side. All right, so I asked Rob to do this exercise. I told Rob that he is the general manager of the Cincinnati Bengals. So he has Joe Burrow as his quarterback. He can add any offensive player in the league that he wants that doesn't play quarterback to his team. How many players would he take over Derrick Henry? This is going to be fun. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, I swear to you guys, I have not seen this list. I asked Rob to do this before the show started. So I tried to simplify it so we didn't have, well, who's your quarterback? Rob is the general manager of the Cincinnati Bengals. You've got a good young quarterback in Joe Burrow. Somebody that most of us like. Most of us think that Burrow is a capable, productive quarterback in the NFL. So that's your foundation, is Joe Burrow. Your next pick, you can take any offensive player you want that doesn't play quarterback. Any offensive player you want. Offensive line, running back, tight end, anybody on offense. I wanted to ask this question to Rob to see how many players he would take over Derrick Henry. If you listen to this show, you know why we're doing this exercise. The thing about Rob is, Rob gets angry at even the mention of running backs. It's not like I even think Rob can have like a normal conversation about a running back. Like, it's just not part of his brain. It just doesn't work. That part is missing from Rob. It's missing. Rob's a reasonable guy. You can talk to Rob about just about anything. You know, that's what I like about Rob. You can't talk to him about running backs, which is really hard because that's an important position in the NFL.
What?
So this is what we're going to do. I'm not going to talk until Rob's done. Rob's going to play some music. So I just want to give you guys the backstory so you understand. Rob is the general manager for the Cincinnati Bengals. He has Joe Burrow as his quarterback. He is going to give you the list of every offensive player he would take over Derrick Henry. And I imagine, because I have not seen the list, we will all yell at him once we hear the list. So, Rob, take it away.
I built my team fantasy draft in Madden style. So here are the positions and the players I'm taking ahead of the top running back in the NFL.
Okay. All right. I have not seen this list, so I don't know. Let's go.
First things first, I'm getting my pass catchers. I got to get my weapons. I'm taking 3 receivers because I got to fill out a 3 receiver bunch. DeAndre Hopkins, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, come on down.
Okay.
They all make my roster ahead of Derrick Henry.
Okay. All right.
I don't need a 4th or 5th wide receiver, so I'll pivot to the tight end. You need 2 of those. Darren Waller, Travis Kelce, both are on my roster ahead of Derrick Henry, because who needs him?
Okay, all right. And really quick, I just want to know, because I'm imagining there's more wide receivers. Are there any other tight ends in the NFL that you would take over Derrick
Henry?
Mark Andrews.
I was just going to say, Mark Andrews makes my roster.
You would take Mark Andrews. Okay, I'm not, you know what? I don't have any commentary. I just wanted to know. So there's three tight ends in the league you would take over Derrick Henry. So far, we had three wide receivers, but I'm imagining there's more wide receivers you would take over him. All right, go ahead. I apologize. I just want a little clarification.
You know what? I'll do the position group by position group. Tight ends, done. I got my three receivers. We have the three so far with Hill, Hopkins, and I just blanked on my third one.
Justin Jefferson.
Hill, Hopkins, Jefferson. I'm also going to add Davante Adams because he's incredible.
Okay.
I love DJ Moore. DJ Moore, come on down. Mike Williams, come on down. And Stephon Diggs, scary Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf. All of you, come on down.
DJ Moore from the Carolina Panthers?
DJ Moore from the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, all right.
He's one of the best 10 receivers in the NFL right now.
Okay, all right.
Finally, here's the offensive line I assembled before I add a running back. I got the two best left tackles, Trent Williams and David Bakhtiari. Perfect. Amazing. I got the best right tackle in the National Football League, Tristan Wirfs. I got Rodney Hudson at center because I need a center. That's an important position. He calls out the coverages. And I'm going to take one guard, Quentin Nelson. Then I would absorb Derrick Henry onto my roster. That is how I would build my team.
Okay, you can fade the music down just a little bit. We even got time for phone calls here. 913-576-7610. I promise you I'll read your text too. Number one, I'm actually surprised there's not more wide receivers on this list. I'm really surprised there's not more wide receivers. When I first told you to do this, I thought there would be like 19 wide receivers. So how many of them is it? Seven?
It's eight.
There's eight wide receivers you take over Derrick Henry.
Correct.
That's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought the number was going to be a lot more astronomical than that.
It's 11 pass catchers.
Okay. Please explain to all of us the Mark Andrews one. Because, I mean, there's a couple that just like, all right, like if you say Davante Adams, I get it. Like there's some, I get it. DJ Moore and Mark Andrews, I don't get it. I don't see what you're talking about.
I don't understand. I don't see with DJ Moore. Every week we talk about the Panthers somehow because I bring them up all the time. DJ Moore is the most underappreciated player in the National Football League. He is arguably a top five wide receiver. Just no one talks about him that way because he plays for the Carolina Panthers.
Because he's not a top five receiver in the league. He's not. Mark Andrews, Rob. Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews is an elite tight end. Elite pass catching tight end.
Okay.
Elite. He has more yards this year than Darren Waller.
This wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I just want to point out, you can't talk to me about positional value if you're taking Rodney Hudson over Derrick Henry.
Center's more important than it is running back.
You can't talk to me about that. I don't want to hear it anymore.
There's only one player on my team whose positional value is actually less than running back, and that's Quentin Nelson. He's a left guard. Everyone else, their position is more valuable than running back. Ask Mitchell Schwartz next Tuesday when he's in. Hey, what offensive line position is most important? He'll say right tackle because he's a homer. Then he'll say center because they call out the protections and the blitz packages.
I don't think that he would. I don't think his list would resemble your list.
He might have more offensive linemen.
I think if we asked, if I text Mitchell Schwartz right now and said, hey, can you make a list of every offensive player that you would take on your team? You're taking offensive linemen that he wouldn't take. You think he would take Rodney Hudson over?
Rodney Hudson is the best center in the NFL, and his position is more valuable than running back. I'm not saying it's astronomically more valuable, but it is more valuable.
Let me ask you this question about running back, and I've never really heard this explained to you, or to me. This is maybe where I'm confused. I feel like you've kind of now taken this role of, hey, don't draft running backs in round one.
Correct.
Now, I am not on that side, but I also wouldn't spend the fourth overall pick on a running back. But you know my stance. I don't have an issue with the Clyde Edwards-Helaire contract. Did they get the player right we can have that conversation. But the four-year, $9 million deal with the option for the fifth year, I don't think that's a bad contract for a running back who is at his apex of what his production is going to be. We would agree, just based on kind of how the positions work, the most valuable time to have that player is probably on his rookie deal. It's that next window from ages like 25 to 29 that you don't really want to be tied to that player. So I think that you've sort of taken the, I don't want to take a running back in the first round, to now it's just, well, running backs just don't matter, period. I do think they matter. Take this offense, for example. Take Kansas City's offense. Let's stop talking about Derrick Henry. Let's talk about Kansas City's offense. You know who's probably going to touch the ball the most on the team this year? Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, I don't think he's their best offensive player by any means. No one would argue that. But by the end of the season, the numbers will bear out. The person who touched the ball the most, other than Patrick Mahomes and Creed Humphrey in this sense, is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So he matters. This offense has determined one player is worth touching the ball 220 times this year. So if you're going to make that kind of investment to a player and he's going to have that much of a usage rate, then make sure it's a player you think that can change the market. I don't mind your strategy of taking gambles in the mid rounds. You can find an Alvin Kamara. You can find a good, productive third round, fourth round back that can be productive. But where I think you've sort of gone on the deep end here is that the position just doesn't have any value. Derrick Henry's going to touch the ball for them 400 times. 400 times this year and scored, what, 17 touchdowns this year? He has a tremendous value to that team and in the NFL.
I guess where maybe I've, quote, gone off the deep end is that if your running back's touching the ball 400 times and this your best offensive player is a running back in the year 2021, you're not a Super Bowl threat because you shouldn't be spending assets, money, or investing in that position because that position doesn't move the needle. You can find guys off the scrap heap to make that position go. Let's use the Chiefs offense, for example, because the Titans are a little bit of an outlier because I don't think if you put whoever the Titans backup is, they're still this good. The Chiefs last week had Darrell Williams. Did anyone notice a difference between Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams? And I know it's an indictment on Clyde Edwards-Helaire more than it is a comment to Darrell Williams, but Darrell Williams is an undrafted free agent. 2016, when the Chiefs were, I believe, the 2 seed in the AFC, and they lost the home game to Pittsburgh in the playoffs. That was a really good Chiefs team. 12-4, 2 seed, won the AFC West, the whole deal. Their two-headed monster, quote, in the backfield was Charcandrick West and Spencer Ware. Two undrafted free agents. I think you can survive in advance at that position more than almost any other position on the offense. So it's not that they have zero value and that I would just play 5 receivers and I'd be Texas Tech. I lean into that a little bit for fun. But I think if you are assigning value and you think, where can I get by on just scrap heap players, for lack of a better term, that position is running back.
I think, though, and maybe where I just disagree with you philosophically on this conversation is, for the most part, and there are certainly examples of players, if you're going to sign a game-changing running back, they're probably going to be in the first 75 picks. We can find examples of guys. There's a James Robinson who's undrafted. There's a Kareem Hunt who was picked in the third round. Like, we can find one example in just about every draft. But sometimes I do think, as people that commentate on sports, we sort of oversell how many third-round running backs that they are. Like, let's look at the top 10 rushing guys right now in the league. Derrick Henry's number one, first-round draft pick. Nick Chubb, high second-round draft pick. Ezekiel Elliott, top 5 pick. Joe Mixon, top draft pick. Jonathan Taylor, second-round draft pick. So I'm not saying that you can't find those diamond in the rough kind of players. You absolutely can't, the running back position. We all can give you a lot of examples. But for the most part, though, if you want a running back that you think can change the game, the same way that you want a receiver that can change the game or a tight end that can change the game, for the most part, you're going to need to spend a significant resource to go get them. Now, I stand with you. Is it good business to give Ezekiel Elliott $90 million? That deal's probably not going to work out. But I'll never fault a team for spending the 37th overall pick on Nick Chubb and then thinking that you're going to find that same player by just rolling the dice in round 6. You're probably only going to find Nick Chubb in the top 60 if you want a running back that you feel truly can transform your offense.
I guess where I look back at the last Super Bowl champions and we go backwards, they all found that those guys off the scrap heap or spent a marginal asset to acquire them. The Bucks. Leonard Fournette got cut. Leonard Fournette was the first round running back, but he got cut. They signed him for pennies on the dollar. They also had LeSean McCoy, who was cut pennies on the dollar. They won the Super Bowl. Year before that, the Chiefs had Damian Williams. They signed for pennies on the dollar. They won the Super Bowl. Patriots year before that, Sony Michel. So you know what? There's a premium asset for a guy. They won the Super Bowl. Year before that, though, the Eagles. They traded a conditional seventh-round pick for Jay Ajayi. That's nothing. That's scrap heap. They then cut him at season's end. Year before that, New England Patriots, James White. James White is not some sort of beast that you can't live without. Off the scrap heap, I know he's a late-round pick. They won with him. Year before that, the Broncos, C.J. Anderson. I know C.J. Anderson's name was hot in the streets for a little bit. He was off the scrap heap. Seattle Seahawks had paid a lot of money after the contract from Marshawn Lynch, and that was the deal. But when they acquired him, it was on the cheap because they traded with the Bills. That is how you build a champion. You identify that position and you scrap heap it.
But this is where I think maybe we're like confusing it. And this was what I was saying earlier when we were talking about, like, would you rather have the running back that can do everything? It's a playmaker league. Tampa Bay's playmakers just don't play running back. They've got five playmakers. They just play wide receiver and tight end. Tennessee has three playmakers. One of them just play running back, where if you can slow down, just like anything, if you slow down Kansas City, like Kansas City only really has two playmakers. If they had a third one and we thought the third one was the running back, that really transformed their offense. That's what the NFL is really boiled down to. It is a playmaker game changer league. You're not finding playmakers off the scrap heap for the most part. You're finding players that really impact it by spending a big resource to go get them. Should that mean that you should draft the running back with the second overall pick? No, I think the positional value argument, I'm 100% there with you. But I'll never come on here and say that I don't think running backs have any value. They definitely have value. But I think, to your point is, I think running backs 1 through 12 are real game-changing backs. I think running backs 13 through 40 are pretty interchangeable, and it's about fit, scheme, situation, contract, age, and those things are really what keep things moving. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, I'll give you my pick in Survivor. Coming up next, these two teams have almost taken a very similar path. I'll explain. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6. Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
It's always some funny business when these two teams get together.
At the Chief 22, Chiefs lead 14-0. Good snap back to Mariota. Big pressure! He is absolutely leveled! Now the ball comes out late! He is hit and dropped back at the 32-yard line. Derek Johnson came on the blitz and de-cleats Mariota. They say that he was down by contact before the football came out, and DJ came in a furious blitz. And Mariota goes down on a big loss back to his own 31.
And DJ came from the opposite side, came across the formation. What you do is you have the nose tackle run cover. He takes two people, and then the linebacker comes around from depth. And DJ right now, so fresh, did a great job to risk absolutely de-cleat Mariota right there. And then also force, you know, what will be a tough field goal, no doubt.
The Marcus Mariota roughing the passer is maybe the worst call I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't say that to sound hyperbolic. I know there have been other bad calls. We just saw one a couple of weeks ago between the Chiefs and the Bills whenever Frank Clark tackled Josh Allen. I mean, the fact that Frank Clark even got to the quarterback should have resulted in an automatic 2 points for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, if you gave the Chiefs 2 points for every time that Frank Clark got to the quarterback, they would just have 6 extra points this season, which, I mean, could be the difference between winning and losing a game like the Baltimore game. It's always some funny business when these two teams play each other. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I don't know how it always happens, but it's always some funny business.
Henry to the right of Mariota. Sets up in the pocket, holding it again, being chased. Now stumbles. Now he's going to scramble for the end zone. Pump faking. Fires late. It's knocked down and caught by Mariota and stretches for a touchdown.
Mariota threw the football. It was deflected and went right back into the hands of Mariota. And Marcus Mariota gets a touchdown pass to himself of 6 yards.
Rob, I don't know if you know this feeling because, A, it always works out for your basketball team and your football team. Like, why would you even care? But every year, something like that happens to Mizzou. Like, Mizzou will be up 7 with 90 seconds left in the basketball game, and they'll lose. Or they'll be up 17 heading into the fourth quarter, and they'll lose on a game-winning field goal. It's just a rite of passage. Like, you know that's part of being a Missouri fan. Pre-Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs had a lot of those moments. Pre-Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs had a lot of those. Well, you know this isn't going to work out. Like, you know at some point the other shoe is just going to drop. You know that going into it. And typically the other shoe would drop. To give you an example of the other shoe dropping, the last time that Kansas City went to Tennessee was in 2019. You guys remember this.
52-yard attempt for Butker to try to tie it. Remember last week, his heroics, winning a walk-off at 44. The game tire at 54. A 52-yard attempt, 3 seconds to go in regulation. 52-yard attempt to try to tie it. Winchester, snap. Kick's blocked! It's blocked by the Titans! And they run the other way, and the Titans will win 35-32.
That was just a weird, quirky game. You guys remember that one? It was a weird, quirky game. Kansas City went to 6-4 after that loss. We had a lot of questions about the defense. And I thought Kansas City beat themselves that day. I don't think that Tennessee beat Kansas City that afternoon. I think Kansas City made a lot of mistakes in that game, and that ended up being the biggest reason and why they lost. It was just a weird, quirky outcome. But you know what? It hasn't always been bad playing the Tennessee Titans. Sometimes things like this happen.
Three eligible left. Kelce again split to the right. Williams shades that same way. Three-man rush again by Tennessee. Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career.
I think the two defining plays of Mahomes' career up to this point are WASP and that play. Patrick Mahomes might go to 9 Super Bowls. He might win 5 of them. We don't know. But whenever somebody has to make his argument to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, that play will be a part of it. Doesn't matter what he does moving forward, that play will be a part of it. It is one of the great runs in the history of the NFL, one of the most important runs of the history of the NFL, and it was made by one of the greatest players in the history of the NFL. It's the last time that these two teams played each other back in the 2019 AFC Championship game. I just want to point out one thing before we introduce Sean Barber. All offseason, all I heard were promos mocking me. I've asked management for a promo congratulating me on being the best player that's in the game so far, and I haven't heard back. I want your disrespect to be as loud as your praise. Everybody was disrespectful towards me in Survivor. They had the mayor of Kansas City mocking me. They had Patrick Mahomes mocking me in the promos. Kelce mocking me. Jason Sudeikis. They called in heavy hitters for this. Is anybody acknowledging that I'm dominating this game? Is anybody acknowledging that I'm the only person right now among the three of us that doesn't have a strike? Barber has a strike. Rob has a strike. You know what you got to do when you got a strike? You got to chase. You got to copy people like me who are winning. I'm just sitting comfortable right now. I can do what I want to do. I feel good. I look good. I'm playing good. That's what champions look like. Rob wouldn't know nothing about that. Barber was good last year. That's what Barber was good last year in Survivor. It's a new season. It's a new year. I told you guys at the beginning of the year that I am more in tune than I've ever been with the NFL. I understand it better than I've ever understood it before. It's like it's been unlocked to me. And a lot of you scoffed and laughed at me. And you've seen so far, everything I predicted with this league has been right. Rob, who was my one seed in the NFC preseason? It was the Rams. Who was my two seed? The Cowboys. Who did I tell you was overrated? The Browns. Who did I tell you was going to be sneaky this year? All I've told you is correct predictions.
You know the Rams aren't the one seed right now, right?
They will be by the time it's over. I don't know why you guys go to anywhere else for your NFL conversation. This show's giving you a little bit of everything. But it's okay. I'll continue to be quiet about it. I'll continue to be low-key and humble about it. And I'll just continue to move forward. Hit it, Rob. It's time for a new week in Survivor. Carrington here. Sean Barber here. Rob here. You're here. You guys know the rules. You cannot pick a team twice. We do double elimination for people like Barber and people like Rob so we can give out a participation trophy. But you know what? I'm not going to let that bother me. Barber, you want me to go first or you want to go first?
Oh, you can go first.
You sure?
Yeah, always, because right. I don't want you copying me.
Okay, so you know what? I'm going to let Rob go first, then I'll go, and then I'll let you go. Because, I mean, why would I copy Rob? Come on now. Rob's about to be out this week. Rob's done. This is Rob's last week in Survivor. It's going to be talking to myself moving forward from this. I don't want to look at your picks. Don't see? You try to show them to me, and then when I pick it, it's like, oh, you copy me. Stop. I'm going to let Rob go. I'll then give a pick, and then I'll let you pick in Survivor. One strike?
Hey, I like that. I like that. Call me One Strike.
One Strike. That's who you are. One Strike.
One Strike.
I'll be taking the Los Angeles Rams this weekend. The Matt Stafford revenge game. The Lions ruined his career. He is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, and he was gifted the best wide receiver of maybe the generation, and the Lions stunk because they're the Lions, and that's what they do. Now the kneecap gnar is heading west to take on a guy he didn't want. Matt Stafford and the Rams are my Survivor pick. They're going to smoke the hapless Detroit Lions.
I feel like there's two very obvious selections this week in Survivor. I am somewhat challenged on should I go a little bit off the board and should I keep these two teams in my back pocket because they're two of the better teams in the National Football League. But at this point, it's Survive in Advance. I already got my next 2 weeks mapped out. I got to stick to a plan here to get me to the end. I, along with Rob, will be taking the Los Angeles Rams this week in their home game against the Detroit Lions. If there's any team that knows exactly how to stop Jared Goff, it's the team that he's playing up against this week. I was in between taking them or Arizona. I'll keep Arizona for another week. I actually would honestly take Cleveland if Baker Mayfield was going to be healthy, but I'm not going to risk gaining a strike with Case Keenum. I will be selecting the Los Angeles Rams because I already have the next couple of weeks mapped out for me in Survivor to get me through until the double-digit weeks. And that's when you separate the men from the boys, my friends. I'm going to take the Los Angeles Rams this week in Survivor, Sean Barber.
Would you like to let listeners know your next 3 weeks? You want to go ahead and put that out into the stratosphere?
Oh, next week I'm 100% taking the Chiefs.
Okay, so that's week 8. All right.
That's far as I'm willing to tell you. As far as I'm willing to tell you.
Again, I mean, you know what? I love to call this man out when he goes to his hyperbole and he starts extrapolating and this false reality.
I'm not willing to tell you all that. I'm just telling you that I plan on taking the Chiefs next week in Survivor. Home game against the Giants is the perfect time to take them. Perfect. But this week, I'm taking the Rams. The Rams are the right play this week. I got to take them.
All right, well, I'm not going to ruin your parade. I'm not going to there's no way I would ever let all three of us pick the same team. That's not good for radio. That's not good for the, for the listeners.
Do you want to take Los Angeles too?
I unfortunately cannot take Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, you already took them?
I took them in week one because I knew they was dominant in week one. It didn't take me 7 weeks to realize what they had.
No, but I picked them to win the Super Bowl, so I've always known. But now I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to burn that bridge.
Okay, burn. Bridge, burn. I'm about
building. Mad Baker Mayfield.
I'm about
hurt.
Building bridges, not burning bridges.
Okay, I get you.
I'm a more of a connector of people. I play chess, not checkers.
Okay, that's fair.
You know what I'm saying?
No, you're a smart guy.
I'm all about guide dogs, not guard dogs.
Oh, that was a bar. That was a bar there. I still ain't heard a team now. Because you really want to take the Rams. That's what it is.
I really want to take who's on my list.
Okay.
I got all 18 weeks laid okay. out. So I don't need to go down this who it woulda, coulda, shoulda. I am taking Mac Jones.
You're taking New England this
and the
week.
New England. Like, you got to go to the computer to even find out who you're playing against. I like that.
They're playing the Jets.
They got the Jets, right?
I like the way. Yes. Yes.
Your big hero call is fading the Jets.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you really talk about this Survivor. Like, you be doing some real in-depth stuff.
I had that picked in the preseason.
You fade Houston and the Jets. Your strategy. You alternate every week.
I had it picked 8 weeks ago.
Yeah, because we knew the Jets stunk 13 weeks ago. I knew the Jets stunk when they drafted Zach Wilson. I knew that they weren't
there
good.
There you go.
I knew they
Again,
weren't good.
I just asked you to lay out weeks 7, 8, 9, and 10, and you said, oh, I'm willing to go
I got to give people reasons. I can't give you all of it right now. Why would you come back? I'm telling you that next week I'm preparing to take the Chiefs.
Listen, we got a good thing going. We got a great thing going. The listeners are coming back. You think that they're coming back just to wait until 4:45 to listen to Survivor when it's a whole hour
coming ahead
of
C with
dot and S it's, dot going back it, and forth? Come
coming,
on, man!
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
This is hot fire. This is the smoke.
I'm actually happy that the Chiefs defense played well, so I don't really got to ask you hard questions about them this week. Like, this week's gonna be the best conversation we've had about them. Actually, really quickly before we break. Did you hear Rob's list earlier about Derrick Henry? Did you hear that?
I did not.
So, you know, Rob hates running backs. I don't know what happened. Rob hates running backs.
I did hear that point.
So I asked Rob to make a list of every player on offense he would take over Derrick Henry. And there were, I think, 17 players that he would take on his team over Derrick Henry offensively, including Quentin Nelson, who plays guard in the NFL, and Rodney Hudson, who just got traded for a 7th-round pick.
I thought we just said that. Henry was like almost like the MVP status. Like, he's
no, absolutely not. He can't win MVP
because he plays running back.
Correct. He has the least amount of value.
You know that don't make sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to Rob though.
Okay. I mean, the MVP is Lamar Jackson. It's not a running back.
Have you seen LaDain Thompson in some of his heydays? LT.
I took LT early in the show. I said I'd take LT over Derrick Henry.
So a couple of those years that he was like just dominating and running up and down the league and doing the thing. You still don't.
John Kitna back in those days.
You want to know why they were good those days? They had Hall of Famers at quarterback. Hall of Fame quarterback.
Sean Alexander with Seattle.
Yes. What about him?
You don't qualify those years as MVP type years.
I mean, he had a 2-year run like all good running backs.
I didn't know the MVP meant you had to put 5 seasons together to win MVP. I thought I was talking about that one season.
You're trying to talk logic. Like, Rob's really logical on most things. He's just not logical when it comes to running backs. Like, we all have blind spots, you know, and that's Rob's blind spot. I did ask the question earlier, if we played one gotta go with peak Derrick Henry, peak Adrian Peterson, peak LT, and peak Marshall Faulk, who would you get rid of? I got rid of Marshall Faulk. And then Rob said all of them because they play running back.
Come on, Rob.
Rob said all of them.
I said Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry out of there.
I said Marshall Faulk would be gone to me in that scenario.
I think I got to get rid of Derrick Henry also. I mean, I respect the man as a downhill, you know, freight train of a running back, but the other guys are just so dynamic in the passing game and what they did with the screen game and what they do with the ball. They got such vision. The cutback, I mean, they got it all. Those are some complete running backs.
Yeah, Derrick Henry has vision. You are in my way. I'm going to run over you. That's all the vision I need.
But even AP, you know, peak AP is like, man, like he was a monster. Like he was vicious. He ran with so much aggression and anger. I like that.
I'm going to tell you a story coming up on the other side that's going to make you laugh because when I heard it, it made me laugh. And you know what? I want us to be on the same page today about the defense because I am optimistic about the defense. I want to see from you what you saw, what the changes meant for the defense, and if you think that the second half against your old team, Washington, can be a spark for the defense moving forward. We'll do all that and more. Keep locked in. It's The Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.